Welcome to another edition of Lying on the Beach. I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman Hess.
And between Lois and myself, we represent about 80 years of going to CESs. And in about a week, we will be heading back to CES again for, I don't know which number CES is. You probably know, like 50 something, I think it is.
53.
And we're going to be seeing 4,500 exhibitors are there. It's about 15 miles of aisles. I personally usually do about 24,000 steps a day. So it's kind of like the, sometimes I really look at it, the toughest week of the year for me. Luckily, we get it over with early in the year. And I'm out there looking for new products, and Lois is doing the same, and also looking for potential clients. And it's a great place to network, meet up, and see what's going to be hitting the marketplace later in 2020. So are you psyched about going or dreading it, Lois?
Actually, I'm excited about going because this year, because I've been doing more and more writing, I passed getting, I actually was accepted getting a editorial pass. And I haven't had one for many, many years, ever since I've been in the public relations business. And I was able to see pre-CES all the editorial pitching that's going on from agencies and companies all over the world. So every day I receive at least 10 to 15 pitches. I'm now talking about pitching a product or a service or a whole company concept. And I am getting to preview what will be there. So it's been fun for me to get, you know, these press releases or pitch letters explaining what they plan to do at CES and be able to review some of the innovation that's going to be there ahead of time. It's interesting to see the way companies angle themselves. Some companies do very well. Other companies don't know what they're talking about at all. So you have to research their website and try to figure out what they're trying to say. But it's okay because it still gives you a good picture of what's going to be happening at CES. It is going to be a lot of artificial intelligence, mixed reality, you know, health products. So, you know,
a lot of security and privacy issues being addressed. That's a big issue.
Yes.
So it'll be some interesting things.
Yeah. So I'm trying to, when I get these emails, I try to figure out, will make it, won't make it, will make it, won't make it. And I think I'm pretty good at determining whether a company will make it or will not make it. An interesting thing I want to bring up right now, I don't know if this was part of, maybe I saw this on Facebook or maybe it was a pitch. I don't remember. But Mark Cuban invested in a gem company that now takes, you know, ashes from cremations.
Saw something about that. Yeah.
So I would say 20 years ago, HWHPR, my agency, had a client. It was called Diamonds. I don't even remember the name of it. But we handled them for about a year, maybe more. And no one was interested in this at all. I mean, everybody thought it was silly. Then they came out with jewelry, you know, that the ashes would be in there. And just most people thought it was very silly. And then I found out later that the ashes, you know, that they get was like so minuscule and it was so reduced. But it's crazy. I mean, this, to me, the way it was done, I don't know the way it's being done today, it was like a scam. You know, buy this piece of jewelry, you think you're going around with your loved ones, walking around the earth, and you're not. It was just ridiculous.
No,
so
I
Mark Cuban is being accused now by I don't know who, that he invested in, like, one of the most recent companies that is doing this, and they're saying it's a scam. But I'm shocked that he would give money for something like this. Somebody, he gave $600,000. Someone had to say something to him to make this happen. And I have to research it. I just read about it either yesterday or the day before. Because you know, when you get the concepts from the companies that are going to be showing on the show floor, I mean, you could just feel it after a while of good, bad, or indifferent.
Also, and some of these releases that are sent to you are nonsense. I mean, they don't even say the booth number. And some people send releases, and they're not even at CES. They're just kind of hopping on the coattails of CES.
Yes.
Or they're at a restaurant nearby, or they're in a you know, they're in a parked car somewhere in the parking lot if you want to meet with them. I mean, it's really...
CES has never been able to control it. Gary Shapiro, the CEO of CTA, the Consumer Technology Association, has called that onboarding, and which kind of means, I think I got that terminology correct.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, which means, you know, somebody's piggybacking on the show. They're not giving the money. They're not paying to bring 150,000 people, you know, to Vegas to see all this innovation. Yet, you know, they're showing their wares someplace.
Well, some companies do like a press event, like Pepcom or Showstoppers, but they don't have a booth on the floor. So they can't do unveiled, because the rules for unveiled is you have to have a booth on the floor. But Pepcom and Showstoppers tend to look the other way, from what I can tell. So there are a few companies that do those shows, but don't actually have a booth, which, again, is taking money out of Gary Shapiro and CTA's mouth, and I'm sure they're unhappy about it. But let me just give an overview for listeners. So the way this works, you've got this massive convention center, which has a north hall, a central hall, and a south hall filled with booths. But then you have the Sands and the Venetian, another big convention center filled with booths. Then in the hotels, there are, like, the Hard Rock has Harman and a bunch of other companies filled with booths. And then you go to other locations and some of the other hotel rooms, some of the suites, more
the
booths.
Aria, MGM.
All have booths.
Yeah.
Then in the parking lot, last year, Google built a three-story building with bathroom facilities on the parking lot. By the way, they built this thing for 3 days and it gets knocked down. And it had a roller coaster in it and whatnot. And who knows what's going to be there this year. I don't care who you are. If you're there every day, and Lois and I are there from the start to the finish, you can still, at best, maybe see 10% of this show. It's that massive. I mean, literally, it's 4,500 exhibitors. And that's just the official exhibitors. There's so many unofficial exhibitors that the number's even higher. So it's a tons of walking. It's not all in one place. You have to cart yourself around. And it's really kind of a very crazy, crazy event. I mean, did I capture the layout?
But what you forgot to mention, since I'm on the editorial list this time, there are invitations for shows within the shows. There are associations that are not giving CTA their just desserts, that are setting up like their own exhibits, you know, for a few hours in various hotels, so we could be invited to a health event, a kitchen event, you know, a fitness event. I'd never even heard of these things. And I'm looking, or China has their own little exhibition going on. Israel has another, you know, Hungary another. I mean, it's massive. People just, you know, entrepreneurs come up with their own concepts and they have their own events, just the way they do with every other major, you know, exhibition all over the world. People just piggyback on it. And so you don't know whether you're coming or going.
You know, all I get are people sending me, you know, saying to have an appointment. And I do no appointments because it's impossible to know where you're going to be at any given time. Plus, I took a list of the booths that I do want to see, and then I try to put them in order by area so that I can try and group them to try and see them. It's such an undertaking every year. And I wish, like, these days before CES, like during the holidays when you want to be hanging out with your family, I could do just that. But instead, I'm going through these emails, classifying, putting together the booth numbers. And then once the show happens, then I'm doing the show and I do a satellite media tour from the show. And I produce a video from the show and a lot of stuff that keeps me pretty busy. And then after the show, I'm doing follow-ups. So it's this huge, huge mountain of work that I'm somewhere like climbing up the side of it right now.
So from what you have seen, what has impressed you that you're going to make sure you don't miss? Do you remember anything?
Well, it's hard to remember. We'll just have to ask me like this on the podcast. But I do know there's wireless charging that is through the air. They have some system where you can have your phone sitting in a not sitting on a machine. Just they actually send out the electric needed to charge your phone inside of a room space. So you don't have to put it on a table or on a tabletop or on a little gadget. It actually does it through the air, which I want to see if this is real or make believe. Flexible batteries caught my eye. That was kind of interesting. You mentioned, and I like this smart yoga mat. That's something too slow. A bunch of products. I don't have my list in front of me, but there are two things I want to check out. And usually, though I haven't been committed to it this year, I usually do a segment like the week after for NBC's Today Show on the fourth hour. But at this moment, they haven't said yay or nay. So hopefully, I'll find out soon if it's going to happen.
I'm sure they're going to have you on as always.
I hope so. We've done it for like 10 years now, but you never know. Times are changing, but I kind of hope it happens again.
Yeah.
And
I mean, one of the products that I saw that
you
know, I thought was very interesting is, you know, for seniors, you know, a lot of us lose our balance. I don't lose my balance. I just trip on things. But, you know, it could be the way I stand or the way I walk. But there is a belt that you attach to yourself, and it kind of like triggers little senses so that, you know, if you're slumping over or you're leaning to the left or leaning to the right, it gives you a sense of balance so that you walk better, you posture yourself better, and, you know, you give yourself less ability to fall down, which I think is super important. And when I wrote about it on my blog, DigiDay, I got like 30 responses by email asking me where to buy it. So obviously this is becoming a really big problem. Then there's another little product that I saw this morning that helps you like with addiction, with depression, with anxiety, with insomnia. I don't know what it does. It could be something like brain state. I don't know. And I'm very anxious to see what that is. No prescription drugs. It's not addictive. Oh, you did see that. So
yep, I did see that one.
So
yeah.
Do you know anything further about that?
No, it made me think of the thing you mentioned as well. And I think it's certainly worth looking into. A lot, you know, it's, you know, for me, to work on television, it has to be really something you can demonstrate and has a little wow to it. So I'm not sure these things are kind of like, you know, working internally on a person may not be as wow. And also, you know, for a lot of television shows, you have to be careful. It makes a medical claim. You have to have,
right.
You know, they really don't want products like that. So I have to kind of
get myself away
from
that. Right, right.
They get into trouble because, you know, you don't know what's real and what's not real. So.
Yeah.
So the problem is if the product makes a medical claim, like it makes your arthritis go away or it makes you breathe better, you know, there has to be some like Harvard research study that is absolutely rock solid that says this product works. Because if it's just a claim and there's no proof, the Today Show certainly won't run it. And even my local stations, you know, ABC, Dallas and whatnot, they won't run it. So you have to be very careful about picking a product that doesn't make a claim like that. Or if it does, you know, this thing has been proven upside down and inside out.
The problem with a lot of products, we may have mentioned this before, is that we're going to go see them and they'll never come to fruition because of investment money, because the company doesn't know how to market, they don't get distribution, whether it's B2B or B2C, you know, the management of the company runs into other types of corporate trouble. So even though it's like the best idea in the world, that doesn't guarantee anything. So, you know, you kind of walk around thinking to yourself, will this make it? Won't this make it? You know, and when you're talking to the executives of the company, you feel like, you know, cluing them in, but they don't want to hear it. They only want to hear that you love their product and that you're going to support them. And that's really what we're there to do, even though, you know, there are some ones that are very obvious that they're making mistakes right on the floor of CES.
But there's so many, I mean, several products that I've seen start as just a little product on a folding table at a trade show that slowly works its way up to the Sands, and then gets itself to the South Hall, and then eventually, like Ring, the video doorbell. Little tiny company, one-man band thing. Next thing you know, Amazon buys it for $1 billion. It's a huge booth in the Central Hall. I remember GoPro was a little tiny product on a folding table at a trade show I saw, and then a few years later, it's worked its way up into the South Hall, and then, what goes from the Sands to the South Hall, and now it's a big booth in the Central Hall. So there is this, you can see a progression, so evolution of some products that really do grow, survive, and become unbelievable, and others you see 1 year, and they're gone the next, and there's a way more products that are here 1 year and gone the next. That's just the nature of
business. I would say 90% of the products do not return. The problem is that people take their last $15,000,
$20,000,
yep, go to the show, hoping that Mark Cuban or Mr. Wonderful, or somebody from Apple, Google, Amazon is going to walk by and say, oh, my God, you're brilliant. Step away. Here's the check. We're taking over. This is the greatest thing. Why didn't we think of it ourselves and bring it to market? It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. Because these investors, whether they're, VCs, angels, whatever, they look at the whole company to see, okay, technology, marketing, and they evaluate it, whether they have belief in the people that are behind it. So if they smell, poverty and they smell desperation,
they're gone.
Or amateurish, you're gone. Absolutely gone.
What we should agree to is that you and I will podcast again while we're at CES, and we'll do some of the coolest things we've seen podcast, and that'll be next time. Do we agree to that?
I love it.
Okay, so that should be our plan. I think we're good for this one, correct?
I think we're great.
Okay, so folks at home, stay tuned. We'll be back next time with some of the cool products we found from CES 2020. But in the meantime, I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman Hess.
And we have been Lying on the Beach. So long.
Bye-bye.